So let's begin the eighth malacha, which is tochein. Tochein. Anyone know what the word tochein means?
Grinding.
Grinding is correct. I think the word techina actually, no, I don't think I know, is related to this word as well, because it's ground down. Tochein is the malacha itself, and what we're grinding down were the wheat kernels. The wheat kernels had been separated already, and now we've got to try to take them and turn them into flour in order to add water and to make bread. So the tochein was required for producing the herbal dyes and for producing the flour for the bread. Okay? So we're going to see the av malacha is going to be the act of breaking down a solid mass into small particles. Any breaking down of a solid mass into small particles is going to be included in that. Okay? That's based on the av, obviously, which was taking down wheat kernels and grinding them into flour. So the toldos of the... Come sit here. You want to sit here? You sure? I can't tempt you? I can't tempt you? Sit with me? You'll learn so much more, I promise. Okay. So we have the toldos of tochein, which are dicing, mincing, chopping, grating, shredding things. Duck. Duck, and you say, goose. That's right. Duck, goose. When you grind or when you cut down things very finely, duck, that is a tolda. Perhaps mashing, cutting branches into small pieces of wood, making sawdust, all these things are going to be a problem of tochein. So in other words, you can make a salad on Shabbat. But if you want to make those like really fine Israeli salads, where everything is very small, tiny chunks, it could be ce problème. It could be a problem. Let's have a look at some of the exceptions to this this malacha. Okay? So what are the exceptions? So, and we have to play around with each one of these. According to most poskim, it only applies to gedulei karka, things that grow or originate from the ground. Okay? So, then we're not going to include chicken or fish or cheese and eggs. Having said that, some poskim, unusually, consider animals as gedulei karka, things that grow from the ground. Not that they believe they grow from the ground, obviously, but because they are sustained by things that come from the ground. So they kind of like lump them together. Most, however, don't. And therefore, those other food items would not include those things. The Rambam even goes as far as to say that it does not apply to fruits and vegetables that are already in the state, that they are primarily consumed. However, most of the other Rishonim disagree with him, and therefore we're going to include all fruits and all vegetables
Rambam,
in the Rambam, Maimonides. The difference is it's Rambam and Ramban. What do you say? You've got to pick up on it. It's the Rambam and the Ramban. Hear the difference?
Yeah, Rambam is Sephardic, right?
They both were Sephardim. They both were Sephardim, yes. Okay. Not only that, but any form of item that is used for grating, for example, those cheese graters, those like box graters, right? That would be a problem as well. Those are prohibited. Chopping eggs with a chopper is questionable. Slicing things is okay. You know those like egg slicer things.
Yeah.
You know with like the five things on? So those are okay. Those are okay. You can actually use those because it's really like five knives in one. If you're able to hold five knives in one go and kind of like put it onto the egg,
that will be fine, you know?
What about a mincer?
Mincer's a problem. Mincer is a problem.
Like the garlic mincer.
So it's weird. You see, when it comes to that, they don't seem to give a size, you know? They don't give a size. They kind of just say when it's really fine, thin strips, when you mince vegetables, that's really the problem. When you mince it down, when you dice it so it's really, really small, that could be a problem.
You can't break down, if you cut garlic really small, you can't make, a powder out of it. It's not, even if you cut it really, really small, you can't make,
Why? Because you can.
Technically, if you put it in a blender or something, but, if you cut it into little chunks, put in a salad or something. That's still not small enough.
That is. How do you small? Why not? Because it's small enough.
If you're
to make it, or make taking a powder?
Make it into a powder.
So that's what the amlach, but the told is anything else which is very small particles. So taking any other vegetable or garlic and finely slicing it, garlic especially, when you take garlic, you really make it, you don't just cut it and quarter it, but when you start to really make it very, very fine, that could be a problem. Okay?
Even though that's how it's eaten.
Yeah,
no even though chews
right, even though that's how it's eaten, that's still gonna be a problem. Okay, you also want to do it right before consumption. Okay. If it's done right before b'derech achila, just like we did by borer, then it could be okay. Cutting very, very small.
So you can make an Israeli salad if you're gonna eat it right away.
So.
And what's right away?
You would get away with it. The same as borer, the right before you start the meal. Right before you start the meal. I've seen people...
But you said Israeli salad wasn't allowed.
We're saying, if it's done, we're saying these are the exceptions. These are the exceptions. So we're now putting exceptions in. Exception number one is going to be digulay karaka, which salad would be. And we're also putting in there right before consumption.
What's that called? Wait, what karaka?
Gedulay karaka, things that grow from the ground.
So you say that's an exception?
Right, we're saying that, right, they have to come from the ground. Right, we included fruits and vegetables into that category. It's gedulei karka, yeah. So that'd be a problem. I things which aren't gedulei karka
can be
crushed down. Some people are strict on that.
Mm?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay?
I heard my rabbi said that you could chop onions very, very, very finely a half hour before shachrit's over.
So there he'll be, okay, if he says that, I hear. It could do it. So he's saying right before the meal, and you do it that way, there can be, people are strict on it, but I hear the leniency. Then we come to the most famous one, that is Ein Tochein Achar Tochein. Let's write that down. Ein Tochein Achar Tochein.
What's the deal with eggs?
So eggs aren't the delay card.
No, because they don't come...
So you say no, you're saying yes. some people are strict, but they're not really good delay karka. Eggs are not.
So you can cut it.
Some people will mash it, but they'll try to do it right for the meal. I know family, I've been to chassidim for lunch when I was in Eretz Yisrael. And they actually make the egg salad at the table.
Oh, gosh.
Literally, at the table, he's shelling eggs, sitting there.
He's
breaking the eggs, and they're shelling the eggs, and the mat, because a lot of halachas when it comes to making, so he's doing it right there at the table itself.
So he thinks that animals are a gedulei karka.
No, but he's probably doing it at the table, so it's their achila, so that's why he's allowed.
I think so.
Nice.
You don't need to do that.
Yeah,
okay.
What is it?
So then we come to the idea that once something has been ground down, then it can be ground down again, because there's only one tochein on an item.
That was really badly explained, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, I'll try that again. You can't grind something twice. Doesn't mean can't, that means it's not possible. It's not considered grinding a second time. Maybe that's better. It's not considered grinding a second time. So a cookie. If you want to take a cookie and grind it down, you could do that. Why? Because it was already ground down once. Ein tochein, acha tochein. So cookies have been ground down once, and therefore you can grind them a second time. Okay? So bread and matzah and cookies and cake and chocolate and club salt or sugar, all these things you can grind down if you want to do that because they're already ground down. If your sugar lumps up, you can grind it down. It was ground down before and it became flour in order to become the cookie.
It's not,
it's
It's nothing to do with it. Now it's fine. Now it is. It's still holding on to its original grinding status. However you want to describe
it. Once
it's
a wheat, it's always a wheat.
Okay. If you want to go with once a wheat, always a wheat, that's also good. Yes, Nancy. I don't know. You tell me one. Most processed foods have been processed in the world too and been ground down. That's what process means. Right? Anything like that, which has been through the process, could be a problem. There is one exception to this, by the way. There is one exception. There's one thing that may have been ground down, but then once it hardens, it goes back to its original state.
Brown sugar.
No, not brown sugar.
Why? It does. It goes back to its original state. It clumps back.
No, that's, no, it's ground down. It's just clumpy. You just like break it down. It's still in the clumps.
Don't tell me. Tell me what like group of food is.
It's not a food.
It's a liquid,
and it grows from the ground.
It is the ground. Mud, dirt. Once mud becomes dried and hard on your shoe, if it's still wet, it's not a problem. But if it becomes dried and hard, you pick up those shoes, the grinder, and you deliberately start to. If you walk and it happens naturally, I don't think it's a problem. But if you start to like kind of crush it and drying, scraping dry mud from your shoes or clothes, even though its original state. Was and now it's like a solid state. Similarly, that's going to be a problem, right? So yesh tochein achat tochein when it comes to butts.
So what if you do it like right into water? So then it's like very. Like,
if you're you know you can't purposefully break it down. If you're walking along and it gets wet, then it's not a problem.
No, I'm saying like
you can still wear muddy shoes.
Break it down into water or into something that.
That'd be a problem. If your intention is to break it down into a liquid, that's a problem. Because you're grinding it down, you can't wet it and do that. If it's slightly wet already, it's not a problem. Okay, all right. Shinui, Chazal did permit grinding of spices or mints, mined salt with a real shinui. Yeah.
Can you say that again?
If you need to, you can use a shinui. Because we're so far away, you can do it in an unusual manner, and we're going to use that, by the way. When it comes to certain things.
Only with spices or with anything?
With anything.
So how would you do it?
You shouldn't use a mortar. You still can't use the crushing devices. So what's a shinui? So let's say you want to... And some, by the way, say very, very soft items, like, avocado or fruit preserves on bread or anything like that. It doesn't apply to that either. Tochen has to be a hard substance going to soft, small particles. Okay? Into very, very soft foods. Okay?
Could you make mashed potato?
So what people do... from potato, if you have a potato, you want to crush it down. So the answer would be, it's usually soft enough anyway once you start to crush it down, so that'll be okay. People use a shinui. And people want, let's say, mash down banana or something to feed the baby. People will try to use a shinui just to throw it in there. Use the handle of a fork or something. Okay? And if you're doing it for a baby, then you can't do it. It's difficult, then you can just do it normally. Okay, but people will do it that way. Okay, so
if it's soft, do you have to use a shinui or not?
Some people are strict, you probably don't have to, but people are strict to do it anyway. Okay? That is pretty much it. Okay, turn over. Let's go. Let's talk about the connecting malacha over here, which is pikuach nefesh and medicine. How are we going to jump, or why are we going to jump from Tochein to laws of breaking Shabbos in order to save a life and medicine? We'll see why. Everyone, please, together? Pekuch Nefesh and medicine? Yeah. You probably don't have to, no. Some people are strict, you probably don't have to. Okay, so there is a pasuk in the Torah. So now we're changing topic and we'll see how it's connected. This is a new topic. Which stand alone, and it's called Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh means to save a life. Okay? Now, there are only three areas which are Yaharog v'lo Yavor. Yaharog, we rather die than do. Right? There are only three things that we rather die for than rather do. And one of the other cardinal sins? Adultery is one of them, or any forbidden relationship, by the way. It doesn't have to just be adultery. Avodah Zorah, Gilui Right, shvichus damim.
Only a Jew, right?
Yeah. Well, what? Murder, shvichus damim is correct. So those are the three. Every other thing when it comes to saving a life, we do it, and that's based upon a pasuk in the Torah, where it says, v'chai behem. We have to live in order to do the mitzvos. Shabbat is included in the things that we are willing to break in order to save a life. How, when, where, we're going to see. But that's the basic idea, okay? So some examples of pikuach nefesh, okay, are a person who is deathly ill, has to eat on Yom Kippur, even though the issa of Yom Kippur is karet, spiritual excision. Even so, we eat. Jewish soldiers are allowed to fly or drive on Shabbos in order to rescue hostages. That is permitted. I'm actually reading The Prime Minister's by Yehuda Avner. Great book. Really, really good. And he talks about the Prime Minister's by Yehuda Avner. So he talks the Prime Minister's. And he's very interesting. He's a Shomer Shabbos guy. And he speaks about how when these wars were declared, right, you see many people had to walk out of the synagogues and they went into the jeeps and they had to go and save lives. Why, of course? It could be that that's something. A person should. And the answer is Shabbos for Kuach Nefesh. You can do it, yeah. Even so, to prevent a war and to prevent a situation, you have to be in a deathly situation in order to do it. We're going to see as well, for example, a woman who is in active labor, right? We can be Mechal Shabbos for her as well. And not only that, we're going to see after she's given birth as well, she has a certain status on. She doesn't have to be indirect. We can do something in order to prevent something where it's possible or likely,
so
right?
She doesn't have to be capturing.
You don't have to be right now in a situation. If you know someone could be, then you can do it as well. Absolutely. Okay? And that's why it is permitted to call Hatzalah, and we'll see actually who is expected to make the phone call of Hatzalah, or calling any ambulance, by the way, not just Hatzalah, when it comes to saving a life. Okay? One second. Okay. So, Pikuach Nefesh includes saving someone's physical or spiritual life, by the way. There have been examples of people who are going to be kidnapped by non-Jewish authorities, brought up in churches. Their physical life was okay, but to be Mechal Shabbos, this is a whole sugya, but to be Mechal Shabbos in order to save this person, there are different opinions, but they usually say, Lalacha, that you can... break Shabbos in order to save someone's spiritual life.
That's probably not like a common occurrence.
It used to be quite a common occurrence that people were taken by others. And if you know a woman is being about to be kidnapped or seduced by Muslims in areas of Israel, which happens sometimes, and to be Mechal Shabbos in order to rescue her from those people, that's not so uncommon, unfortunately. Not so uncommon. No. Kidnapping is physical. I'm saying this woman is being brainwashed. And someone is
only happening on Shabbos.
If a person would discover it and able to do it on Shabbos, then you'd be Mechal Shabbos. You're able to be Mechal Shabbos for it, potentially, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Wait, when you say improving someone's spiritual life, do you mean like for
purposes
of Kiruv?
No, I do not mean purposes of Kiruv. No, purpose of Kiruv, a person, a rabbi, is not allowed to drive somewhere and not do that. What I'm saying is that if a person is in danger of being taken away, no, they're physically going to be okay. Their life is not in danger. Their spiritual life is in danger. And this person is, right, taken away, and she'll have to join the church or the rest of it. So she's in a state of being Jewish and taken away from it, as opposed to being there and bringing her back. Then that could be a problem, yeah. Very good question. When it comes to inviting people for Shabbos, who you know are going to be Mechal Shabbos, or you suspect it greatly, there are general rules how to do it. The general rule is that you should attempt to make them come to you. This is the accepted in the Kiruv world. They should attempt to have them come to you before Shabbos, so you're not making them. Once they're there, you should offer them and have the ability for them to stay. If they want to leave, they can leave. You have to like block the door with your hands. No, you ain't going anywhere.
So you should offer
Shabbos.
That they stay?
So they should. You should offer them and have the ability to have them stay. I have a friend of mine who does Kiruv in California. He has a garage full of inflatable beds. So if he has like 10 guys over, he's like, if you want, we can, you know, we can have you stay. If they don't want to stay, that's fine. You can leave. But he has the ability to have them stay if they want to. Yeah. That is generally the thing. There are some poskim. Rav Neustadt brings down his sefer actually. So for Shabbos day, this is like the question that comes up in all the kiruv things all the time. Shabbos day itself, some say, well, it's going to break Shabbos anyway. Let's break Shabbos coming to me. It's difficult. You can't say come to me on Shabbos. You can't say come to me on Shabbos. What you can say is, if you want, lunch will be served at. Like the door's open for you.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So what
you're not proactively inviting them to your Shabbos table on Shabbos. Talking about Shabbos day itself. So you're not actively making them be Machal Shabbos.
Okay, so what if you say like...
The door's open.
Okay, but what if
lunch will be served at.
And then can you ask them if they're coming? Like, lunch will be served at...
I'd say you probably like, let it be that way.
And then also...
Let it be that way.
You offer them, what if
that is psak of just that's psak of Rav David Cohen. He's the like one of the big poskim in the Kiruv world, and I have him actually on video saying the same thing. If it's like you want to invite them for Shabbos day,
what about Friday night?
So Friday night is fine. Friday night we say if they arrive for Shabbos, they plan to be there before Shabbos, then you can do that. They arrive for Shabbos, and if they you should have the ability for them to stay. You offer them, say, listen, by the way, Shabbos isn't just a Friday night deal, it's all Shabbos. You want to stay, and they'll I have all the people who come.
How are you going to know if they're going to come for
no, you invite them.
Are you coming before Shabbat? Are you going
to
stay?
No, you say to them, Shabbat begins at, please try to be with me before then. What do you say?
What if they're not Baal Tuve? They know the halacha and everything, but they just choose, they're traditional. They want to have
same
the
thing.
Meal, but they don't
so you can't have it. Same thing. If they're going to be Machal Shabbos to get to you, then you're putting a
mechshol. Either way, they're Machal Shabbat.
Why? If you haven't been to you before Shabbat?
No, either way they're gonna break Shabbat. They don't care.
Sat.
The second they leave my hands, they're gonna break
I
Shabbat.
I hear that, but you can't be responsible. So there is an idea. No, that's a fair question. And the answer to that is, you are responsible for your actions,
right.
And you cannot put a michshol, a stumbling block, before a blind person. And blind, we don't just say mean a person who cannot see.
For
a person who is blind of the halachas. So you yourself should not be the one that can't say, they're going to do it anyway. You know what I'm saying? Listen, there are some people who say it that way, but we don't pass them like that. We generally say that you shouldn't be the reason they break Shabbos.
But it's not Kiruv in this case. They know the halachot.
Yeah.
They just don't want to follow it.
Same point. Same thing. You can't make a person who's not religious or religious break Shabbos. Yeah.
It's kind of like when there's like a time difference or whatever, and some people doesn't keep Shabbat, contacts you. Then, like, you can't answer the phone because if you were to answer the phone, then, like, you'd cause it.
That is correct. Yes, you should not, you should not be called, right.
You can't call somebody.
No, you should not call, although it's probably, listen, although using the phone, yes, you cannot be called. I'll tell you how far it goes, by the way. You cannot get any form of benefits. You shouldn't visit websites,
no.
I believe, when they're operating on Shabbos. So if Jews operate these websites on Shabbos, right, they're not religious in websites, and it's not Shabbos for you, but you go there, you're getting benefit from their malacha and Shabbos, that could be a problem. That could be a problem.
What, so like Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg?
I wouldn't say that. If they're actively, if the Jews themselves are working there, no. Mark Zuckerberg is not updating. You can't phone someone. No, you can't phone. You cannot phone someone. You cannot chat with them. But I'm saying, let's say they run a website, like, I don't know, the Jerusalem Post. There's people in the office on Shabbos, I guess. I hope not. Who work late and you should not be visiting those websites if you know Jews are actually updating it right now and getting benefit from it. I believe that's a problem. I believe so.
Do we ever use the website? No.
Only when it's Shabbos there and not Shabbos for you.
If you offer for them, if you're invited.
At the back. I'm so sorry. You know, a good advice I used to get from my teacher, if you feel you can't up talking, you can sit up front. There's plenty of seats up front. Feel free. If you're not interested in the conversation, you can just look inside the book. Yeah.
What if you're inviting a person for Friday night and Saturday? If you leave the invitation open,
yeah.
And you're like, okay, you're invited for Friday night, Saturday, you have a place to stay by my house,
yeah.
You should come.
If not, you're welcome to, if you choose not to stay over, like, you can, you're invited to both of the meals, and these are the times. So now you're giving them both options, and you're not putting a stumbling block.
Okay, possibly.
That's okay.
I mean, it's weird, you know, you invite someone that way, but you're saying, Friday night is one way, and like, okay, Shabbos, you're saying the door's open, lunch will be at, I don't know, 12 o'clock, and we'll be there.
Yeah, but if you're not a rabbi, that's also weird to say.
Nothing to do with it. Why? What's it with the rabbi? Everyone's got to keep Shabbos.
No, I'm saying because rabbis sometimes are like, okay, the house is open, like, we're going to have people.
You don't have to, this is not exclusively for rabbis or rebbetzins. This applies to anyone who keeps Shabbos, invites someone to lunch over Shabbos to the house. Listen, it's a great mitzvah to bring a non-observant Jew to a Shabbos table. There's no doubt about it. But you can't be, you've got to be careful the way you do it. Careful where to do it.
I feel like I'd rather not do it than do it now.
What?
I feel like I'd rather not do it than do it.
No, you should rather do it than not do it. Okay. Even saving a fetus in distress, obviously if the mother's in painful distress, a senile person, let's say a person, you have these things, these people with dementia, who have dementia, and they go traveling around different places and get lost. Yeah. So there is a mitzvah, and obviously, and they'll call that Salah, happens right. To go and get these people back. So you'd be Mechal Shabbos in order to help this person with dementia or something, senile, Alzheimer's, whatever, to go out, be Mechal Shabbos in order to bring them back. Even though, they'll be fine, they're just walking around, nothing to do with it. Even preventing situations of Pekuach Nefesh, even though it's not Pekuach Nefesh right now, but it could become Pekuach Nefesh, is a problem. Even prolonging a person's life for a short amount of time. They're going to die in a couple of weeks. Right? No, they're going to die in one day. So, you know what? I won't break Shabbos because they'll be dead in a day anyway. And the answer is no. Every second a person has in this world is precious. It's a very Jewish idea. Every second a person has in this world is precious, and therefore we don't do it. So, and by the way, this is a mitzvah. After the fact, if you had to be Mechal Shabbos, right, you have to drive to the hospital for, you know, a labor delivery, or you have to bright out Sullivan, you don't have to do teshuva afterwards. That was your mitzvah. It's like, oh, I did it, and I have to teshuva for it. That becomes, there's no atonement is not needed for that act itself. On the contrary, it's a great mitzvah, and a person gets tremendous chus for doing that. Okay? As a side point, Hatzalah do operate on Shabbos. The reason they operate on Shabbos, really, I mean, logically you say, well, why do they need to? Why do you have these Jews who break Shabbos in order to save lives? Because in New York, they have an ambulance service run by non-Jews. Why do we just rely on that?
It takes double the time for them to get there.
So the answer is because they take longer. And if Hatzalah get there even within a few seconds before, right, they sometimes do way more than that, much faster than that. Those few seconds are very, very precious, especially someone's going through a heart attack, chas v'shalom. So Hatzalah is allowed to exist in a city, I believe, if they are faster than the ambulance service, which in most places, most built-up cities, they are. Okay, that is the header to do that. Now, there's a difference how they operate, as a side point. Some cities, they will allow the person to drive and drive himself back.
What about here?
Now, why is that drive himself back? Why is he allowed to drive himself back? And the answer is, why would he allow to drive himself back? So the answer is, well, the emergency is over, the person's down in hospital, they're fine. So there's two reasons. Number one is because if they let the person drive back, there'll be other emergencies he can't answer. Because he's in some hospital in the middle of nowhere. And the other one is because we'd have no one becoming our solemn members, because they drive Friday night to the hospital, and they're stuck there for all the Shabbos.
Right.
So we have to allow the person to get back home. Which means that if a person had to drive his wife to hospital, that would be different than you have to spend, like I have, for two Shabboses. My wife gave birth on Shabbos. I tried to talk her out of it. She wouldn't listen. And I tried to drive her to the hospital both times.
Why don't you take a cab?
Good question. You ideally, if you're able to, you can take a cab. We were not... Actually, the first time we used a doula to drive us.
Use what?
A doula. A doula.
Oh, yeah. Sort of
a birth, not a midwife. No, it's different. A midwife is actually giving, is allowed to give birth. Doulas... No, midwives are right. They're actually allowed to deliver the baby. These are the birthing coach... They're coaching, they're supporting you, they're helping you breathe, and they charge you. Truth be told, they're pretty good. You'll have to have doulas. Actually, our doula drove us. She was not Jewish. She's actually now she's converting. My wife told me last week, funnily enough. Yeah. That's unhelpful. But they can. So, but if you're just driving, your wife or something to the hospital, you would probably have to stay there. You'll probably have to stay there for all of Shabbos. Probably. One second. Yeah. Ideally a cab. Right. So if you can get a cab and do it beforehand and book it, then that would be the better way to do it. The better way to do it, if it doesn't add any extra time, listen, if it's an emergency, you get in and go. That's the mitzvah. But if you're able to do that through a cab service.
In Montreal, they have a cab service that it's a Jewish owned cab service. And if you need it on Shabbos or whatever.
They will let you do that.
Okay. Right, you don't have to pay them. Yeah, Shabbos.
You can have money in an envelope. And you can have it sitting by the door, take that, or many of these cab companies and religious communities even know about it.
Does it apply to non-Jews as well?
What?
Saving a non-Jew's life.
So the answer is yes. B'darach Shalom. The halacha actually is no, but we include non-Jews in it. And that's less about non-Jews, more about the sanctity of Shabbos. So we do include them in it. That means when someone calls Hatzalah, they don't say Jew or non-Jew.
No, not Hatzalah. Let's say, I don't know, me.
I said to you. Hatzalah, regular people.
I know. I'm saying.
They're not saying anyone. It applies to anyone. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
My son had a funny question, but actually, at this moment, we didn't know what to do. What if you have an animal, like a dog, and something happens, like they...
You know, whenever dog questions come up, I know people are going to get upset with me. No. People get more upset with dog questions than they get with grandma questions.
Weird, right?
I can say, leave your grandma outside in the cold. You're like, no problem. Dog, they're like, that's it.
It's
so true. People are more, I tell you. I know. Certain things you can't talk about. One of them are dogs in halacha. I haven't brought up that you're not allowed to touch your pets on Shabbos. I haven't brought that up because once I go over there, people get very personal. Right before I leave.
By the way,
and I'll text you that halacha.
Yeah,
yes. Yes.
Okay, so, what if the animal, gets cut really badly or something like that, and they're, dying or whimpering, because they're in so much pain or whatever, what are you supposed to do on Shabbat?
Eat. Leave them until after
Shabbat. No, I know, but I'm saying, for example, my dog, something happened, she got cut really badly, and she was, whimpering in pain, on her pillow, screaming the whole, what are you supposed to do?
See, once you word it like that, any answer I give, I'm probably...
No,
just so you know, this dog was talking about was whimpering, it's my little poochie-moochie, and
we
it was...
not taking her anywhere. We waited until after Shabbat.
Right. You did the right thing. Okay.
No, it's fine. I'm not,
I have a feeling the animal's, your pet, and it's part of the family, and you own it, and it's, going to die.
Yeah.
I have a feeling you could take
it.
It's a feeling.
Tamar, it's an incorrect feeling, but you can have that feeling if you want to. You can feel it. You can feed your pets on Shabbos.
Is it going to let it die?
Oh, right.
It's not
going
to
die.
Okay. Let's get back in. We're spending too much time for Kuch Nefesh. I'm trying to save my own life right now, but not discussing pets. So,
okay.
Okay, so generally speaking, when it comes to Pekuach Nefesh, the best way to do it is through a non-Jew, or at least try to use a shinui. As I mentioned in one of the first classes, I know doctors who will use their knuckles, right, to make phone calls. It doesn't add any extra time, it's a shinui, and they will do that. If, however, there is any chance that this will delay and can endanger the person's life, then obviously that is totally forbidden. But that is the better way to do it. In other words, if you're able to get a taxi to come to your house to pick you up, take you to the hospital on Shabbos for labor, for example, which isn't like an active labor, but early labor, then that's okay. There is a mitzvah for the most religious person. And if there is a rabbi, then the rabbi should be the one to be mechalal Shabbos for a sick person. So if you have a room of five people, four of them are totally non-Shomer Shabbos, mm-hmm. they drove to this location wherever they are. And the rabbi is there. If there is an emergency, the rabbi is the one who should make the phone call.
Why rabbi?
The rabbi is the one.
Why?
Because this is a great mitzvah to show that it is a mitzvah to save lives. It's a form of chinuch.
Really?
Yeah. The rabbi is the one who should pick it up. And he is the one who should break the halacha. That is the halacha, by the way.
You were going to say like a little kid or something, because we don't want
to
show...
No, you don't want to get your little kids to call the hospital, the emergency services. Hello, where are you? My address. 52, that's my number. All right, no, you don't mess with that.
What if it's not a rabbi, but like...
The most religious person there should be Mechallel Shabbos.
So what if they need somebody to...
In order to save a life. Okay. That is their mitzvah. That is a form of chinuch, of educating those other people, that this is what we do. And she'll say, they broke Shabbos all the time. You pick up the phone and make the phone call.
Okay, so let me ask you something else. What if you're with a group of people,
yeah,
right, and this is something that happened to me and I didn't know what to do. We were with a group of people, some of them being cancer patients, and they came in from Israel, so the doctor like spoke, his native language was Hebrew, and they needed an American to like go with them, and one of the girls needed to go to the hospital. She like had a high fever and whatever.
Okay.
So they needed someone to go with them to the hospital, and there were some people from the group that weren't Shomrei Shabbat.
Yes.
So, and like they asked me to go with them, and I was like, why can't somebody like, who doesn't keep Shabbat just go instead?
So that's a little bit tricky. Like, over here, you're not needed per se. Right, they just want you for moral support over here. For a child, the mother can go inside and go with that tzala. That's not going to be a problem.
Uh-huh.
By the way, I wanted to mention, so some communities, they drive back themselves, that tzala. And some communities, they have a non-Jew go and do the drive back.
Uh-huh.
Right, that's the, in Muncie, that's the way we do it. My tzala friends, they drive there, but they get the non-Jew to drive them back. I believe in other communities, I think my sister-in-law was in Teaneck, I believe... they will drive themselves back. They are allowed to go back home afterwards. That's for sure. Everyone is maskim to that.
Okay.
Right, for that reason I said, if you need to go for moral support, it's questionable. For a mother and child, absolutely. Because your friend is...
If
she actually needs...
Like, it's not moral support. You don't speak English.
If you're needed there... So there you're actually actively helping and doing something, then that will be okay. Then you can travel along with them, yeah.
But I'm saying, would it be better for me to go for somebody that doesn't keep Shabbat regularly and is going to drive away like in a couple hours?
You, because you're the most religious person.
That's what I'm saying.
Does that apply over here?
Yeah, because they don't speak English. She's needed there.
Yeah, but what if there are other girls that don't speak English?
Or not?
I mean, are there girls there that do speak
if
English?
They
feel they're not religious.
But that's what I'm saying. If they're going to drive away in a couple hours, like, is it better
even
for me
a couple hours, like on Shabbat?
Yeah.
Right, but he said the most religious person should go.
So I'm
that's the phone call.
It would be better for me to go then for someone who doesn't keep Shabbat.
Why would it be different?
Because the rabbi
because
is
not
like showing.
It's not like she's the one to, like, I was there.
Yeah, at that point you're giving moral support. I'm not so sure, so simple. Unless she says, I need you.
It's not moral support.
What if it's like a girl, like a young girl who needs, like, she's like, Shimi, I need, like, a girl to come with me. Like,
okay, then that's fine. If she has actually, like, pointed on you to do it, then that's something else. That's something else.
I heard even, like, to save your property are allowed to do this.
We'll come to property a little bit later. Not so simple, my dear. Not so simple.
Yeah,
okay, let's stop over there. We'll pick this up next class. You have to go even further into this and start talking about medication. And we'll do that next class in Mitzvah Hashem. We have your midterms. If you want them back, now's a good time.